be strong in the Lord. I'm just going to read you some text and see what God will do with them. We need to be strong in the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about the wrong kind of strength. Sometimes people just have a strong personality. I'm not talking about that. That won't get you very far. I was talking to some preachers yesterday, and we talk preacher talk. We get together. We talk about what boldness is. When a preacher can be bold, that's not talking about personality. See, some men have a bold personality. They're not afraid to talk to anybody. That's not what the Bible's talking about. Talk about men who were kind of, they have a hard time witnessing to people. And some men have a real bold personality. It's easy to talk to people. That's not what God's talking about. That's natural boldness. He means something else. And many of you people who think you're weak are a whole lot stronger than you think you are. I'm going to call a couple of names. I don't want to leave anybody out, but I can't talk about everybody in the church. We got a lot of people I could talk about in a good way. But I'm going to talk about Sister Dale for a minute. She's full of pain. She got all kind of arthritis. She's been through the mill. She's been to the emergency room, and she's suffered. And I know she has downtimes. I don't see those downtimes. But I tell you, the way her testimony amazes me. But I can say the same about many of you, the same way. Martha's the same way. I mean, I can't imagine having a colostomy and having heart trouble and having oxygen all the time and having a large heart. I can't imagine. But instead of griping about it, they all talk about how good God is. And I just, it stuns me. I know it's the way it ought to be, but it still stuns me. Now, if you have some weak moments, I'm not trying to make anybody feel badly. Brothers and sisters, God's spirit in us is stronger than you think it is. And many people are real, real strong. They think they're weak. In fact, probably the people who think they're weak are the strongest. The people that think they're strong, they're probably really weak in God's eyes. But I don't talk about strength. But let me talk to you young people, too. Life is not easy. It's not going to be easy. It never had been easy. We've had a period of time in the United States when we had it easier than most people have. That period is probably going to come to an end. And I'm going to stop talking about that some. I'm not talking about politics right now, either. But, you know, life has lots of sorrows. It has lots of downtimes. It has lots of challenges. It has a lot of changes. And so we have to be strong. But it's always been that way. It's always been that way. And let me just say this before I even get started. The greatest challenge we'll ever face is death. So you know what you ought to start doing? John Gill said this, and I just didn't want him looking for this, but I found it in him. And one way to get ready for death, you know what you ought to do? Think about it every now and then. Don't put that off. Even you young people, you're going to die one of these days. It won't hurt you to think about it a little bit. Get ready for it. Prepare for it. Like I even read not long ago, when he said there in the Psalm, Lord, let me be strong before I go. The last verse of Psalm 39. Let me regain strength before I go and be no more. That's paraphrasing that. And so, you know, we may get persecuted someday. I don't know. But think about it a little bit. Get strong, mentally strong, spiritually strong. See, we want to think, well, life's a bowl of cherries. Everything's always going to be easy. And we want to think about pleasant thoughts all the time. But we don't need to think about pleasant thoughts all the time. I'm not talking about, and let me say this. I'm not talking about dreading something real badly. I'm talking about being sober-minded. Remember what Corrie Ten Boom's daddy told her, and she did suffer terrible persecution before it ever happened, and it looked like persecution might even be on the horizon. Remember what her daddy told her? She was worried about that. He said, Corrie, when you get on a train, when do you get the ticket? And she said, right before you get on the train. He made a spiritual point. He said, that's the way God works. But right before you need something, God will give it to you. So don't worry about persecution, but think about it. And think about getting strong and getting prepared. And think about the changing of life. You kids, look, you know what, you children, you're going to lose your mother and daddy some of these days. They're going to die. They'll die before you will, unless you get killed in a car wreck or something like that, probably. But you won't always have them. You won't always have your brothers and sisters. We've had many people who rush up and they're going to be the Lord. Life's full of changes. We need to think about things like that and not be wimps and weaklings. Be strong, not in ourselves, but in the Lord, the power of His might. Right, Casey? All right, I thought so. Let's look at some text. Let's look at some text, okay? Let's look at some text from the Bible, the Word of God. All right? How about Ephesians 6? I got all fired off anew about this because I forgot how good this was. I won't read the whole thing. I'm read about starting verse 10, but not reading about the whole armor of God. You ought to read about it later on because that's how you do get strong in the Lord. But I was amazed again yesterday as I looked at this, and I happened to have Timothy Zodiotti's Bible, which has got a strong concordance in it. And got to look a few Greek words up and got all excited again. Paul is just going all over himself, emphasizing this. The Holy Spirit, of course, is inspiring Paul. But look at, there's three words here in verse 10. It's impossible to overemphasize what Paul is saying. He got three words he uses here. They're synonyms. I could break them down and you'd be technical about it and say, this has this shade of meaning, this has this shade of meaning, this has this shade of meaning. That's not what Paul's doing. He's not interested in the shades of meaning, in how, I don't think he's interested in that. I think he's just pouring word upon word upon word to show the emphasis on how we need to be strong. That's what he's doing here. Look at this. Three words here in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, as Paul is giving him a final message, he's in prison. This is not the imprisonment, by the way, where he died. That's later on in 2 Timothy, but I'm going to read something out of there also. But he didn't know he was going to live. So I want to give a final word to my precious brothers and sisters. And I want to give you that today, too. Look what he says. Finally, my brethren, get this. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Three words. One of the words is kratos. I love that word kratos. I'll tell you why I love that word kratos. That means strength. And when we get messages from Russia, from Brother Sergei, he can't speak English. So what he does is have to go through an electronic translator. And it's pretty awkward sometimes. But there's one word that just thrills me every time I see it. There's one word that comes across in that electronic translator is a Greek word. And you know what it is? It's the Pantokrator. And that gives goosebumps. Because the Pantokrator is God Almighty. Almighty God. Brother, he's Almighty. That's in Revelation chapter 1:8 and 4:8. You look it up. Pantokrator. So, sorry, he's always talking about our God, the Pantokrator. That is the Almighty. Brethren, we serve Almighty God. And so Paul says here, he didn't say, Jeff Watford, be strong in yourself. Susan thinks they have a baby. He says, Susan, be strong in yourself. But he did say, be strong in the Lord, and the power of his might. How about that? If I just read that one verse before coming to church, isn't it? Paul, my friend, is emphasizing that. We cannot be strong in ourselves. We're weak. You don't know how weak you are. You're a bunch of wimps, and I am too, without God. If you don't believe that, look at characters in the Bible. Many people start around like turkeys or something, thinking they've got a lot of strength. You make a mistake if you do that. I remember one time reading in one of the martyrologies, the Dutch martyrology, Fred, Brother Fred, and there are two men. They were going to face death the next day because of their testimony for Christ. And one man was so bold, I'm going to go out there and burn at the stake. And one poor man was crying all night long, weak as he could be, begging God to have mercy on him, begging God to have him to be strong, begging God to have him not let the Lord down. And the big, strong man making fun of that guy. How weak is faithful. Guess what happened the next day? Well, you know what happened, don't you? The guy who was strong in himself recanted and denied the Lord. And the poor old fellow who was weak, brother, he got burned at the stake and died a testimony that gave God all the glory. One man was strong in the Lord, the other man was strong in himself. If you're strong in yourself, you made a big mistake. You're going to bust it out one of these days because you don't have any strength in yourself. Nobody does. Peter thought he did. Nobody had the natural boldness of the apostles more than Peter had. But when the moment of crisis came and the Lord left him on himself, he basically turned to a coward and denied the Lord three times and cursed bitterly. Said, I don't even know who the man is. Laid down his, and you'll do the same thing without God. The great man Abraham, a man of faith, one time was left on his own. Two times left on his own. It's amazing. I can't believe a man did this twice, but I'd do it too, Brother Jerry, if it weren't for God. Can you imagine having a dear, precious wife? But you want to save your skin so much, you will let her be in another man's harem to save your stinking skin. And Abraham did that one time. You thought he probably repented, begged forgiveness, but something was wrong. He didn't get it dug out, something like that, because it happened again. Two times. Don't think you can't fall. Don't think you can't fall and bust it out. Sifanel told me, bless her heart, a dear Christian sister said, Brother Zach, we can never let our guard down till we're in the gates of heaven safely. She's right about that. You gotta be, that's why you can't monkey around and halfway serve God. You need to be in the Bible. The whole armor of God is what you need to be putting on. Isn't that right? Everybody needs to be putting it on all the time. So if you're not putting it on, get to putting it on. Because the devil's after you. We have many enemies, though you not know. That every marriage in our church, I've told you this before, but the devil would like to destroy it, and don't think he couldn't destroy any of them if you let him in there. Even mine. And I got one of the best ones in the church. So I got one of the best wives in the church. I got the best wife in the church, but I hope you guys don't get mad at me about that. Now, I love my wife, but you know what, brother? If it weren't for God, I could make a big mistake and mess up. You could too. Don't you tell me he couldn't. And you kids, he's after every one of y'all to make shipwreck. Every one of you. Don't do it. Stay close to God. Every husband, every daddy here, I'll be watching over his family better than we do. He'd like to tear the church up too. And he might do it in unexpected ways. But you all must, my friend, not let that happen because of your mistake. You see what I'm saying? But anyway, I want to encourage, that just gives my, when I got that verse, isn't it good how the Bible refreshed to you again? I forgot how good verse 10 was. So I got to look at, I said, hey, look at here. Look at these three words. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. All right, let's go look at a few more. Look at 2 Timothy 2:1. I'll just quote that to you. Well, I better turn there. Here I might violate what I said. I think I'm pretty smart and I might mess up. Who knows? 2 Timothy, let's look it over and look at it. This is his last letter he wrote. He's writing it to Timothy, his beloved minister, who is afraid because of persecution. And hear what he says. And I love this. It's just as good as the other. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in what? In yourself? In yourself? No. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's how you're strong. That's the only way you'll be. Now, Paul practiced what he preached, didn't he? Let's prove it. You ready? He said, now, Timothy, you be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Well, he practiced what he preached. But let's look at 2 Timothy, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's an amazing passage, 2 Corinthians 12. May the Holy Spirit take these texts to our hearts, my friend, like an arrow going to our heart, would be my prayer today. Here is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is practicing what he preached to Timothy. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Look what he says now. It's great. It's wonderful. We think about Paul being a strong man. He was. But it's not natural, frankly, the Bible talking about. He might have been a genius. He might have had a lot of assets. He did. But that's not what made him strong. That's not what made him strong. What made him strong was his constant dependence on God. The only way you'll be strong is to constantly depend upon and lean on and abide in and draw your strength from the Lord. That's the only way you can be strong. Now, God's got a way to letting you get out there and cut your limb off. You know, God climb out on a tree and cut a limb off. And sometimes God lets people do that. Sometimes His children get so exalted in themselves, they think they're so cotton-picking and smart and have so much pride they don't even know it. He's okay, you get on this big old tree now and climb out on that limb and you cut that cotton picker off. And then you find out where your strength's at. All right, you ready for this? Look at 2 Corinthians. See, Paul had some great revelations. And sometimes God people have great visions and stuff. Not like Paul did. He's an apostle. God gave him something that he didn't give everybody. But look what happened here. Let's begin to read it. I'll start in verse 7. He's already had these wonderful revelations, being called up to the third heaven. He said this in verse 7. And let thou should be exalted above measure. The worst thing God could ever let happen to you is to be, just let you go and you get lifted up in pride and make shipwreck. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. So when you have some, you know, sometime we're going down a road, we hit up one of these bumps, these speed bumps, right? Those little people, they really annoy us, don't they? Now, they annoy me. I drive down here through Shady Grove, well, I like to go down there and see all the pretty scenery, and those speed bumps, every time I get going good, I hit another speed bump. But you know why they got them out there? So I won't have a wrecker hit somebody. And my brother, God sometimes lets speed bumps come across your path. Then they're good for you, and they're not very pleasant to go over them, but it's exactly what we need. And Paul had some big speed bumps, but he needed them. Even Paul needed them. Look what he says. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And I don't know what that was. Nobody does. There's been whole books written about it. I got my opinion. But so does John Gill have 4 or 5 opinions on this one. It may be an ophthalmic affliction. Who knows? I don't know what it was. I better get off there. I'll start telling you what I think. It's something terrible. It just annoyed him and bothered him very badly. What's the grief to you today? What's the constant grief to you today? What's something you'd like to get rid of that you just haven't been able to get rid of it yet? Well, you can try. You ought to try. But you may or may not. We'll have to look at it. Look at this. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. The Lord said, I'm not going to allow my dear servant to get exalted above measure. Oh, I love you too much. I did not want him to make shipwreck of the faith. I'll not let it happen. So therefore, for this thing, and it's good that he did beseech the Lord, because if you have something unpleasant in your life, it's perfectly legitimate to try to get rid of it if you do it the right way. And you ought to. And you can beg God. And don't get discouraged. We got some people in our church that are discouraged. One dear friend told me not long ago, Daddy, has God ever gone into our prayers? Well, you already know who it was, one of my kids. Can't tell you which one it was. I won't tell you which one it was. Laura died. We prayed for her. This is happening. That's happening. Dear friends, I talked to somebody yesterday. Let me tell you this. Let me just have a little fireside talk with you, okay? I talked to Kathy Friedel yesterday, a woman who lost her husband, a young man dying of cancer. And I saw Kathy, and we were talking about little Mariah suffering such pain. And Grandma was having a tough time all day. We all are, Grandmama. You're such a lover so much, you're probably having a tough time anyway. You're a prayer warrior. And a little kid just hurting so bad, I can't find out what's wrong with her. So I told Kathy, and I were talking about that. I said, Kathy, you remember what I'm always telling the people at Great Chapel? God never said, understand me. He said, trust me. I said, Kathy, there's some things we can't understand. You know what she said? She said, Brother Zach, most things we don't understand. She's exactly right about that. Most things we don't understand. That's where faith comes in. Lots of things. Most things, not just everything. Most things, some things we do. Most things we don't understand, and we won't till we get to heaven and then God explains it to us. But I'm telling you, if you heard Bradley this morning, you're right. He was right about that. God's got a purpose in your trials. If you didn't believe that, you'll sink under them. He got a purpose in your trials. It's like he said about Job. Job did not know several thousand years ago that somebody would be using him for an example to encourage them. He just knew this is what seems to be happening to me is meaningless, but it was not meaningless at all. And what happened to you, friend, is not meaningless. God not the author of sin in any sense whatsoever and has no fellowship with sin. But I'm telling you something. Nothing can happen to you, nothing, unless it comes through God's filter. Because he can stop anything he wants to happen. And God's not meaningless in what he does. That happens to be strong in the Lord and power of his might. Kathy's right. Most things we don't understand. But we trust our great God. And he is answering prayer. And brothers and sisters, here's the danger. Because the devil wants to make us think God is not good. But that's a heathen liar. God is all good. It's like Lynn Bruce says, thank God for that dear, precious saint of God that's proving the reality of her faith. Proving the reality of her faith. Not a fair-wear, a sunshine soldier. One that keeps saying more than one time. There's not a cell of my body that's not under God's control. And he's always good. She got that like less like it is. He's always good. He's always good. But here's our problem. The devil tells you this, but he's lying. He tells old Zach gets this every day. Well, Zach, you deserve a good life. You deserve to feel good all the time. You need to have good eyesight. You deserve it. You need to have good hearing. You deserve a good hearing. You should never get any disease or cancer. You deserve to have all this money. And your car should never break down. And your house should never have any repairs. You should never even get sick. And your kids should never go do anything to even disappoint you. And your wife ought to just love you all the time. Just the best wife in the world all the time. And the minute something like that happens that's not out in that scenario, God, what are you doing to me? Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? You know what I mean? You may not be quite as weak as I am, but you can't fool me. You're all the same boat because I know you are because you're a sinner just like I am. See, we think God owes us something. Brother, everything we get is nothing but pure grace. Pure grace is what we get. You know what you deserve? Me, you deserve it. You should have gone to hell a long time ago. Not just now, a long time ago, if you got what you deserve. You never deserve one gospel sermon. You never deserve one Bible that God reserved for you. You don't even deserve God's good air. Everything we got is grace. And my friend, the people that we see suffering and talk good about God have learned that. And Richard Creekmore, in his prayer, called it Christian maturity. And he's right about that. Most of us are babies. But my friend, a mature Christian, is going to say, Lord God, I want to be like Paul. And the greatest desire of my life is that Christ be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I wish I could be like old Stonewall Jackson. He really proved it in his way he died. He said, I can be as content on a sick bed as I can in full health. Now, I don't think he'd brag it either because he's a pretty humble man, really. But he was believing in God's sovereignty. And he said, I'm as safe on the battlefield. He was for a while until God got ready for him as I am on my bed. Let me read you a few more texts. Let's look at, let me finish. I'm sorry. Let me finish with this. I won't get to all these because I'm going to let Isaac talk. He wants to speak to us some, and I want him to. But I'll go to a few more. So let me finish up on this one here, at least this one. Now, he wanted this to go away, Paul did. It's not wrong for him to want to go away. I'm not saying that. And my friend, God's a good God. He's a rich God. You know he is. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Doesn't he? He gives us extras. He loves to give his children extras. But anyway, here's what Paul said in verse 8. For this thing I besought thee, Lord, thrice it might depart from me, this terrible thing that was bothering him. And then the Lord said this in verse 9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. So he knew what he's talking about, didn't he, when he told Timothy to be strong with grace that's in Christ Jesus. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, this is an amazing thing. This is amazing. Such a bit, you know something about this. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Isn't that amazing? Only the Holy Ghost could have written that, couldn't he? My strength, he said, is made perfect in weakness. That kind of strength he's talking about. It's like Gill said, to the man who does not know God, death is called the king of terrors, but not the child of God. That's real strength right there. You see a man facing death, brother, without God, you see how strong they are. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul reacts in the right way. He said, well, I understand now, Lord. And that's what you and I have to come to this understanding. And we may have to do it more than one time. We will. We forget the lesson, have to learn it over again. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I don't think that happened overnight. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I've talked to people who said things like, you remember how Sister Ivy used to say this? People thought Sister Ivy was out of her tree, but she was not. She isn't her tree more than we are. She had all kinds of things to happen to her. You remember Sister Biggs used to always say, I would take anything for the trial I had. I wouldn't take anything back. You mean the car wreck where you got busted up and spent 2 months in the hospital? You mean the cancer surgery? I took her home. I don't know how many times. I talked to her. I don't know what she's talking about. She never did change her story. When she got on her sick bed, her bed of affliction, she couldn't even come to church. That's a great trial of all for her. And suffering cancer. And she still had the same story when you went to see her. Not her, just the power of Christ rested on her. And many people who go through great trials said, even Sister Lynn doesn't want that cancer, but she said she had experiences that she never would have had otherwise. Same thing she can't even describe. They're so profound. My brother, God give you experiences and grace. You can't imagine. Why he thinks it's possible. You haven't seen the best yet. He got more than you can imagine. He got more grace. He got a whole fire hose full of grace. Stuck in a great big ocean. And it's got artesian wells coming into it. That's our God, brothers and sisters. You get to glory, you'll be singing that. You'll be doing like the angels are doing. But we need to do some of it now, if we can. We got to. All right, look here. That the power of Christ, therefore, verse 10 then. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches. You know, reproaches. People saying terrible things about him. And necessities. Not having enough to eat sometime, probably. Not, you know, something that we don't even understand in our affluent society. And persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, he said, then I'm strong. My friend, that's Bible. That's glorious. Let me read you just a few more texts. Let me read you two before I want to sure get these. Let's look at a couple of them. And this is not to make you feel bad, but it's to make you kind of measure yourself a little bit, will you? Let's measure ourselves a little bit. If you don't come out good, that's okay. That's okay if you don't come out good. Because if you know where you're at, you can start going the right direction. It's like our brother prayed this morning, we need to be going up the steps instead of down the steps. So if this can kind of get your diagnosis you wrong, then let's do something about this. But look over in Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint, the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So if we have a day of adversity, we're fainting. That's just he's not fussing. He just said your strength is small. You got to do something about it. You got to learn how to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You got to put the whole armor of God. Have more communication with God. I'm amazed at the things that really throw me for a loop. I would tell you, if you'd probably laugh at me, and I wouldn't want you laughing at me. The things that sometimes just devastate me, they're so weak, it's just unbelievable. It's unreal. I can be going great, and there's one little bitty thing happen, and just throw me off. It's amazing. So, that's a wake-up call. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Now, let me give you a proverb out of Jeremiah. This is amazing. I'm going to read you a couple of comments on this. I'm going to quit after this, I think. I can do more, but I think I've got my message across, what I want to get across. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 12. It's amazing, amazing, amazing kind of a proverbial expression here. And I think you'll be able to get the proverb when I even first read it. But let's explain it a little bit. Jeremiah is fussing at the Lord because he's gone through a real hard time, and he was the weeping prophet, and God loved Jeremiah. He's a great prophet. But sometimes he was so astounded by the thing that happened because he lived in a time when his ministry was not accepted. Like some men have so-called successful ministries, and Jeremiah was in God's eyes, but in outwardly not successful because he just was in a prophesying at a very bad time. So he was just complaining to God. And so here's what the Lord told him in verse 5:12. I think you'll understand the proverbial expression here. All right, Jeremiah, you've been kind of fussing a little bit here. You've been complaining about people not receiving your message. You're kind of down, Jeremiah, so let me tell you this proverb. If thou hast run with a footman, and they've wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace where thou trustest, they wearied thee, how wilt thou do in the footing of Jordan? In other words, you know what he's saying. It's obvious, isn't it? It's a good literary technique, isn't it? If you can't go with a footman, and you're weary, when the horsemen come, buddy, what are you going to do then? And so let me read you what a couple of guys said about this. Adam Clark and Matthew Henry. I could give you many. I like the way he said it. Ready? If thou hast run with a footman, if the smallest evils to which thou art exposed call thee to make so many bitter complaints, how wilt thou feel when, in the course of thy prophetic ministry, thou shalt be exposed to much greater, from enemies much more powerful? Footmen may here be the symbol of common evil events, horsemen of evils much more terrible. If thou hast sunk under small difficulties, what wilt thou do when great ones come? And if in the land of peace, where thou trustest, I believe the meaning is this, if any country now enjoying peace, thou scarcely thinkest thyself in safety, what wilt thou do in the swellings of Jordan, in a time when the enemy, like an overflowing torrent, shall deluge every part of the land? The overflowing of Jordan, which generally happened in harvest, drove the lions and other beasts of prey from their coverts among the bushes that lined its banks, who, spreading themselves among the country, made terrible havoc, slaying men, carrying off the cattle. So this, obviously, what he's saying. If you can't take these small troubles, what are you going to do when the real ones come? Well, here's what Matthew Henry said. While we are in the world, we must expect troubles and difficulties. Our life is a race, a warfare. We are in danger of being run down. God's usual method here, now get this, God's usual method being to begin with smaller trials is our wisdom to expect greater than any we have met with, than though we ought to be looking for that, really not in a morbid way. I'm not saying we ought to be optimistic in a Christian optimism. I hope the Holy Spirit will balance this out. I'm not saying young people and old people, let's dread life. I'm not saying, God didn't say dread life. He rejoiced in the Lord, and all, again, I say rejoice, but he may be sober-minded. And we're not here for a picnic. We're not here for a vacation. We're here to serve God. We're his children. We have a purpose in life. Our purpose is to serve. That's the number one purpose. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The promise of all the things we really need will be added to us. That's our job. And sometimes we forget that in our carnality, in our love of pleasure. And God has to remind us of it again. Let me say this too. It's not fun to start exercising when you're out of shape. I've been out of shape a lot of times, and it's not fun to exercise then. You just can't do hardly any push-ups. And you do two or three of them, you're so sore the next day you can't hardly even get your clothes on. But you know what? You keep doing them, and you get in shape, right? Tony's laughing. He played some great basketball the other night. He didn't think he did. He's a great defensive man. But I think he kind of got stove up. But Tony, you keep at it, buddy. It's going to get fun. And you know the old inches will melt away? You know what I'm talking about. My precious friends, we must exercise ourselves rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Right? All right, Matt Henry. God's usual method being to begin with smaller trials is our willingness to expect greater than any we have met with. We may be called out to contend with horsemen. The sons of Anak may perhaps be reserved for the last encounter. Sometimes the trials of God's children are the worst they ever encounter in the last part of their life. And if we don't have faith and grief, how can this precious saint who lives such a wonderful life have such a hard time at the end? But you know what God's doing? It's like one of the brothers prayed this morning. He's winning us away from this world and getting ready for heaven. Brother Bobby Poe made a profound sermon one time on that. Why in the world does some of the worst trials of God's most precious saints happened in the other life, like Richard's wife was, like Richard. He's winning us away from the world and helping us to do what He asked us to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we had to have His help to do it. And He said, we must look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. Because the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. And but our eyes are so strong in this world, it's hard to get our eyes off this stuff, isn't it? You know what? Here's how carnal that some of you are. I won't say all of you. I don't know where I fit in here. I probably am pretty bad. Okay, now, you just won $50 million. You want the Lord to come the next minute? Uh-oh. I bet you some of you fail. Boy, it'd be a lot of fun to get that new car, wouldn't it? What about that great big new house? What about those vacations you have been taking? Isn't that stupid for us to feel that way? But I tell you, my friend, our carnality is strong. So God said, I'm going to have to wean this saint of God away from this mundane world. This sin-filled world. They have no idea the glory that awaits them. They have no idea what Romans 8 really means. He says, I reckon, Paul says, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God says, I've got to get the scales off their eyes. You think it's real? You better believe it's real. We may be called on to contend with horsemen, and the sons of Anak may perhaps be reserved for the last encounter. It highly concerns us. Get the word of wisdom, precious friends. Listen, young people. It highly concerns us to prepare for such trials and to consider what we should do in them. How shall we preserve our integrity and peace when we come to the swellings of Jordan? In order to our preparation for further and greater trials, we're concerned to approve ourselves well in present smaller trials, to keep up our spirits, keep hold of the promise, keep in our way, with our eyes on the prize, so run that we may obtain. I'm going to lead in prayer, and then Brother Addy will speak to us. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we just thank you for giving us your precious, dear word. We thank you for the reality of serving you, Lord. We thank you your spirit lives in your church, God. May he ever live in Grace Chapel. Father, I pray this church may always, till Christ comes again, be favored with your presence and glory. I pray, Lord, that Ichabod, the glory had departed, will never be written over these doors. My Father, we pray that. We all need help, Lord. We are real weak, but we've been exhorted by you, by God. And Lord, there's a lot of stuff I could have read, as you know. What did you tell Joshua in chapter 1, verse 6-9? Over and over and over again. Be strong, be very courageous. Be not dismayed. Over and over again, the servant of God, and Lord, you told him in verse 8 how to do that. This word of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all things that are written therein. You told him to always be in your precious word. And, oh God, I pray thee, we will be in your blessed word. When you read it, it won't just be like reading another book. It'll be the truths of your precious, glorious word sink down deeply into our souls and become a reality in our lives, my Father. So help us, and help my son now to be able to have the Spirit of God to be able to express himself like he wants to. And may we have the heart to receive what he has to say. It's my prayer. In Jesus' name, and amen.